Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you praise and glory. Can I get someone to say amen?
Amen.
The Lord is good. And his mercy does what? Endureth forever. Lord, we lift up your name because there is none holy as the Lord. You are the King of kings and you rule in the armies of heaven. And no one can say unto you, what doest thou? Hallelujah. Even all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing before you. You take up all the earth as a dust in the balances when they are weighed. They are nothing, Lord, before you. You are King. You fill all things. I am Alpha and Omega. Behold, I make all things new, he said. And Lord, we thank you. We give you the praise. Thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word tonight. I mean, this morning that will shine light into our hearts. We give the Lord the praise and the glory. Somebody put your hands together and say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today, I am going to share the word of the Lord with us. And I will be talking about, nevertheless, even now. Nevertheless, and even now. Now, so I will be, I've touched on this before, the Lord began to put in my heart to come back and do some of the messages again that we've preached many, many years before. You know, now that we are doing review and so forth, it's giving people a chance to understand the messages better. In the past, we just preached and preached, and nobody remembered, I have two stories that I will be sharing with us to bring out this message this morning. But first, I am going to start in Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12. This is the scripture that I will be using this morning to bring this teaching. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Remember, we spent a lot of time in the book of Hebrews a few months back. We went through just about all of it. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick. That means it is alive. It is powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now I'm going to speak on the first part, or somewhere in there, the various things that the Word of God can do. I'm going to speak on the piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And you pay attention because, you may be new. You may not have heard it preached exactly like this. And you may have. But, I'm going to bring it out the way the Lord put it, to me. So you pay real close attention. Now, what does this scripture mean? I mean, we quote it all the time. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and, of the marrow and so forth. Now, notice that, in the scripture, there's reference made to soul and spirit. There's also reference made to joints and marrows, which is the body. So we see that there's reference really made to soul, spirit, and body here in this verse. And we know that the other scriptures talk about, the soul, the spirit, and the body. Well, I want to concentrate today on the soul and the spirit, And I will be bringing that message out using this scripture along with two stories in the Bible. Now, many people like a good story, I didn't used to like to tell stories, but lately I've been liking to tell stories as long as it is the Word of God. Amen. So I like to bring these stories out from the Bible, and then we're going to relate it to this verse and see, the revelation that God would give us. The first of these stories is the nevertheless story. Now, some of you may remember this, and I hope many people do, and I am going to tell you the story here in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, and you've heard this before, we see the story opens up here as Jesus would, come into Simon's ship. Now, there were a few ships there, but Jesus chose. He saw two ships standing, we're told in verse 2. And one of them belongs to Simon. So he went into Simon and said, you know, move, you know, there was, you know, in the shore, you know, just go a little out, you know. So he entered, you know, and so forth. And he began to preach and do all, you know, that his ministration to the people, you know. And when they had finished, then he turned to Peter, Simon, in verse 4. And he said something. He said, now this is Luke 5 and 4. Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught. So, when he told Peter that, well, you know, you may remember the story that ensued after that. Peter began to say to the Lord, well, he said, let me read to you exactly how he said it. He said, look, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. So that's the first part of Peter's statement. We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now, Peter was a very knowledgeable, versed, experienced fisherman, you might say. And he knew his business. And they had been at it all night long, but they caught nothing. And he said, look, it's not happening tonight. There's no fish. Nothing is happening. I mean, usually, you know, we're there just an hour or so and we get a lot and we're good and we go home. But tonight, we've been at it all night and we're not catching anything. So it doesn't look like it's going to happen tonight. But here is the portion that goes with this story. As soon as he said that, he said, but nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Amen. Now, so that's the first part of it. Now, what happened here? What is the thing that happened here? What is the thing that happened here? Let me bring our attention to it and put it in context of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The soul is where the emotions and all these things are, you know. Anger, disbelief, all these kind of things are there, you know, and all emotion, you know, instead of staying with the word of God, the soul goes, you know, based on emotion and how it feels and so on and so forth. Sometimes you are happy and then maybe everything is good. Sometimes you are not so happy. Maybe everything is not so good and all of that. It's all in the soul, you know. But the spirit of the Lord and the spirit that God put in man, you see, it's like the candle of the Lord. When you get a hold of that spirit of God and let that spirit walk its way into the word of God and bring a separation, see, between the soul and the spirit. So here's what was happening. I'm taking it slow so that you will understand it because it's very important. Here's what was happening in the story of Peter. His mind, which is like his soul and everything, began to go in the way of natural. Well, we've been doing this thing all night, and it's not happening. You know, maybe, you know, it's just not the season, and there's no fish, you know. But immediately, he arrested that thought with the word of God. And immediately, he put a division between his natural mind and the spiritual mind. The natural mind says, it is not possible. I've been doing this all night. Nothing is going to happen. That's the soul. But immediately the word of God comes in there and divides that. You know, I say, at thy word, I will do exactly what you said. So you see how it was a conscious effort in his part. You know, he could have let, you know, the soul can drag the spirit down, or the spirit can lift up the soul. Hallelujah. Either way you want it, you know, your soul, you know, you find out when people are sad, you know, they really can't do anything. When things are not going their way, you know, and they are depressed, you know, and so on, as their soul goes, so goes the rest of it. And when somebody is sick and they are sad, their soul is sad, then their spirit gets weakened. And once their spirit is defeated, they've lost that battle. See? But you can make, through the word of God, a separation. When your natural mind is going one way, You can use the word of God, hallelujah, to overcome that and separate between that. You know, you might also say that this is a way to overcome fear and discouragement. Fear and discouragement are number one tools that the enemy will use. Because when you are afraid, you really can't believe God for anything. You know, Jesus, when he came upon the scene, in most cases, he used to always dispel the fear. He would say, fear not, only believe. Amen. Amen, folks. That's the reason he always wanted to get that fear out of there. Because when that fear sets in, and the Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, you know, what does it say about fear? Fear has an attribute that most people don't know, you know, that it's in the Bible, but it's there. The Bible says in 1 John 4 and 18 that fear has torment. That's what it does. Torment your soul. Because you really can't go. And he that is afraid is not made perfect in God's law. You know, you really can't go further. But there is a way through the word of God that you can divide between the emotions of the soul and the spirit. Hallelujah. The word of God is able to pierce between soul and spirit. Let me quickly tell you another story. This one is found in the book of John, chapter 11. In the book of John, chapter 11, a famous story here. In this story, we hear about Lazarus being sick when Jesus was a little ways away. And then when he heard that Lazarus was sick, we are told that he stayed where he was for a few more days. In other words, you know, instead of him rushing to go and perform the miracle, he actually waited until it got worse. Are you still with me, folks? Let me read that to you in case you don't know that that's what the story says. So he waited while, you know, they said Lazarus was sick. And the Bible says that he abode in the same place for two more days. So finally they went. Listen to this in verses 5 and 6. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now when he heard therefore that he, being Lazarus, was sick, he abode 2 days still. That's two more days in the same place where he was. I mean, why would he do that? I mean, why? Somebody is sick. Why don't you just rush there and go and heal the man already? But he didn't. You know, he stood in the same place where he was for two more days. So, and after that, you know, he said, you know, that, well, let's go over again into Judea. And as he was going and all that, you know, began to tell them some things. So finally, he told them, he waited until Lazarus actually died. Then he told them, Lazarus, our friend, is sleeping. Of course, the disciples, they didn't understand. They said, well, if he's sleeping, it would be well, you know, and all that. What's the matter? So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Hello, folks. Lazarus is dead, verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So that is the reason actually why he waited. Now, these disciples, they'd seen Jesus heal the sick and so forth. They've seen him do all kinds of things. Now, Jesus was going to show them in this particular instance that it didn't matter whether somebody was dead and already buried and in the grave, that he, the Son of Man, still had power to bring him out. Yeah. Hallelujah! So he actually waited. Now, for the person on the receiving end, for the family that was on the receiving end or looking for that miracle, and that was probably one of the most challenging times in their lives. Their brother was sick and dying, and they sent message to the Lord. You know, I mean, he's only over there in Chandler or wherever. You know, come over and so forth. He didn't, you know, and he waited until the situation got worse. And they went through the grieving, the burial, and all of these things and so forth. So finally, he shows up after Lazarus is already buried. So that's where we'll pick up the story. Remember, the first part was the nevertheless, which is what Peter said. But let's look at this interesting part of the story. So as soon as Jesus came, in verse 17, You know, he said, then when Jesus came, he found out that they had laid him in the graves 4 days already. So by the time Jesus finally got there, maybe it was 2 days' journey for them, you know, Lazarus was already dead and buried. So, here's what Jesus then said. You know, then Martha, I'm going to just skip here. Martha, verse 20. As soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house still. And then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. My brother was sick, and we were calling upon you, but you didn't show up. Are you still with me, folks? You waited until my brother was dead. I mean, if just a few days ago, he was hanging on to his life by just a thread, and we were praying and believing God. And you know, Lord, how we love the Lord in our hearts and so forth. You know, that sounds like many of us. We argue the case, we do all of these things and so forth with the Lord, and we blame him for not showing up on time. But God, he is never late. Yeah. Hallelujah. He is never early. He is never late. He's always on time. His time. Praise the Lord. You know, so finally Jesus said, well, you know, before even Jesus said something, let me bring out what Martha said. Martha began to rant with all these things and so forth, complaining and so forth. Now that's the mind, that's the soul began to go, her emotion began to rise. Finally, when she saw the Lord, she couldn't, you know, I mean, it was like, my goodness, if only you had been here just a couple of days ago, I wouldn't have had to bury my brother. We would have had to go through all of this and so forth. My brother would be alive today. And she couldn't stop crying. But as she was going that way, immediately she remembered that this is the Master. Hallelujah. She began to separate the spirit from the soul. The soul would go with all the emotion and all of these things. You know, you did this, God didn't answer, and so on and so forth. But immediately, here's what she said. But I know, she said, in verse 22, I know that even now, hallelujah, because immediately she remembered the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. She remembered, you know, all the things that Jesus used to tell them, that, you know, all things are possible to him that believeth and so forth. And she separated the spirit from the soul by that word. And she turned around and said, well, you know, yeah, that was then, but even now, no matter how bad it is now, because you are now here, I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, he will give it to you. And that was the turnaround for her miracle. How many of you can say praise the Lord? You must separate by the word of God, the spirit from the soul. You know, the soul may not believe anything and, you know, feel this way and feel that way and so forth. But we don't walk by those things. We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. And when you are praying, take a lesson from this woman. You may be facing a situation and praying for God to show up, and that situation may get even worse. Just like the children of Israel. They were praying, they were crying out to God and so forth when they were in Egypt, you know, wondering, you know, and so forth. You know, initially they didn't cry, but when they started crying, God said, well, finally I've seen their affliction. Now I've heard their cry. I'm sent forth now to go down and deliver them. And then when they started crying to God for deliverance, their situation actually got worse. How many of you know the story? Because when Moses finally arrived there, you know, things got worse. Moses said, let my people go, saith the Lord, and all of these things, to go worship me and so forth. And Pharaoh said, well, these people are idle. That's why they're talking about worshiping God. Make their situation harder. Don't give them straw anymore, you know, for the bricks they used to do. Let them go gather for themselves. But diminish nothing from the tail that they need to bring. Everything they used to bring before, they must still bring. But don't give them provision for it. Let them go find it. So their situation actually got worse. And finally, they cried out against Moses and said, look, you know, I mean, you didn't do well by us at all. You've made our situation worse. And so on. You know, so sometimes things may get worse just before they get better. Amen. Amen, folks. It actually got so bad in the case of Lazarus that he died. It got so bad in his case that he was buried And they put him in the grave. And 4 days, he was already there, probably even stinking already. And then Jesus finally showed up on the scene. Well, but Jesus, he already knew what he was going to do. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And when Jesus arrived on the scene, you know, he said, where have you laid him? They said, well, and they said, roll away the stone. I like, roll away the stone. Are you kidding? He's been there already 4 days, and by now he's stinking. And he said, woman, you know, did I not say unto you, if thou wouldest only believe, thou shouldest see the power and the glory of God. In the meantime, during their discussion, when Jesus had told Martha that, you know, your brother will rise again if you only believe. And she said, well, you know, I know my brother will rise again in the resurrection. See, she was still thinking something else. Well, you know, they all believe the Lord. They believe the Lord, you know. For, and Jesus said, I'm not talking about that one. Right now, right here, I am the resurrection and the life. How many of you can say amen to that? Your dreams that are dead and buried and stinking, that the devil put a stone over and say your dreams are gone. You will never do anything and so forth. Jesus said, I am here now. Yes. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection and I will bring life even to that dream. And I will cause life to come again. Say, roll away the stone. And when he did, but all of that was made possible because the woman immediately, she used the word of God, the remembrance of the word of God, to switch from the soulish realm into the spirit realm. That's the word of God dividing between the soul and the spirit. Hallelujah. Now, how do you use that in your life? First, you must know the word of God. If you don't know the word of God, you cannot use the word of God to your benefit. So you must first know the word of God. And I have preached this so many times. Hebrews 11:13, my favorite verse when teaching on this subject of faith. How that you must, and I called it speck in another sermon, how that you must see the word of God. And then how that you must be persuaded about it. And how that you must embrace it. And how that you must confess it. You know, so the S-P-E-C there, you know, this is what they saw. They saw the promise afar off. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. And then they confessed. And sometimes the confession part is the hardest. People may see the word of God in the promise of God and so forth like that, you know. And then they may be persuaded. They know that God is able to. Everybody knows that God is able to do all of these things. Amen? There is no believer that doesn't know that God can do all things. We all know that. But sometimes we think that God is only going to do those things for somebody else. Or he has only done those things in the olden days and he will not do those anymore. They won't embrace it for themselves. But when you begin to embrace it for yourself, then you have to also go a step further. You have to confess it even in the face of negativity. Amen. Praise the Lord. When your brother is dead and in the grave, you have to confess it that I know that even now, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Even now, whatsoever Jesus, now that he has arrived on the scene, he can still change your story. Can you say amen? Amen. No matter how bad your situation has gotten, he can still change that story. But you must use the word of God. You must use the word of God. Now, what does Satan do? His job is to put fear and put dismay. That's why the Lord always said, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And dismay means discouragement. Discouragement is a tool that goes along with fear, and Satan knows how to use those tools very well. When you are discouraged, how do you get out of it? Let me tell you another story here in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. And every time I tell these stories, somehow I have to go back to David one way or another, because I love the stories of David. So here is a story. Let's put David in here somehow, in the middle of all of this. Here's a story about David, you know, and how does he, you know, how did he do it? Well, let's see how he did it. This is the story of the Amalekites, how they came against Ziklag and spoiled everything and carried, you know, David was not there and his men were not there, carried their wives, everything away captive and so forth. You know, so here is the story. We pick it up from verse 2 of 1 Samuel 30. And they had taken the women captives and so on. And they slew not any, but they carried away everything. All of these things. So David, when in his men came to the city, behold, was burnt with fire. Their sons and daughters were taken captives. Everybody was taken captive. You know. And then David and all the people begin to weep. And wept and wept and wept until they had no more power to weep. You know, and they began to do all of these things. You know, finally, even they talked of stoning David because David was their captain. And, you know, they were so angry, you know, when we followed you and so forth. And now all our wives and children are gone. You know, they talked of stoning him and so forth. And he himself was so vexed. But listen to what he did in verse 6. Hallelujah. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him because the souls of the people were grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters and for their wives and all of that. But look at what David did. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Can you say amen, folks? How do you think that David did that? How do you think that David encouraged himself? He used the word of God. He used that word of God to divide between the soul that was distressed, his soul that was, you know, whatever, even afraid because people were about to stone him and so forth. You know, there was a lot of emotions mixed up in his soul, but he would use the word of God. Hallelujah. He would tell himself, my soul, why art thou distressed and disquieted within me? Hallelujah. I will yet praise the Lord because he is the help of my countenance. The Lord is my shield. He is my strength. He is my rock and my defense. I will not fear, you know, what men will do unto me. When all these nations and all these people came around me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And he began to encourage himself in the Lord by the word of God, separating between the spirit and the soul. How many of you understand that? If you do, say amen. The word of God is the only one that can do that. You know, it's not mind over matter or any of this kind of nonsense. You know, you're using the word of God. You're declaring what God's word said. Remember, heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will never fall to the ground. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And if you know how to use that word, you know, just say what God said about you and about the situation, not how you think or what you feel, then you'll be all right. Praise the Lord. But most of the time, you know, we let that body gravitate towards those soulish emotions and so forth. And then, you know, we begin to act like we don't even know the word of God. And if you're acting like you don't know the word of God cannot profit for you or profit you. You must use the word of God like it is. And even in the case of sickness and other things, you go back to the second portion of Hebrews 4:12. Even though that wasn't my subject, but you see how even the word of God can go inside the bones and the marrows. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That means you can speak the word of God into your bones and into your marrows, and it can create even new blood cells. Because the marrows is where it makes blood. You know, you can speak that word. Praise the Lord. And I know situations where I've actually used that and it has worked. You know, now, the summary of this message this morning. I didn't want to preach very long. But the summary of this message this morning is this. The word of God is quick and it is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, I mean, I've even used it in the case of facing surgery and so forth. You know, the surgical instruments, yeah, but the word of God is sharper. Amen. The word of God can perform, you know, operations. The word of God can perform anything even better than anybody else, you know. I mean, the Lord, he did that first surgery on Adam when he put him to sleep. And today, science, you know, over the years, science actually found out that if they use anesthesia, you know, and so forth, it might block people's pain. You know, they figured that out from what God did to Adam. You know, putting him to a deep sleep, you know. So, you see, if we use the word of God, we can actually separate. So we go back to summarizing today's message. The instruction for today is this. that no matter the situation that we are in, no matter how bad it has gotten, you can always use the word of God. Now, if you use the word of God in the first place, you know, maybe it won't get so bad. But even no matter how bad it has gotten, you can always say like Peter, I have been here all night. I've done everything I could. And nothing seems to be working. Some of you might resemble that remark. Maybe you are in business. Maybe you are struggling. Maybe you've done everything and nothing seems to be working. Well, I got good news for you today. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
You can use the word of God to divide between those soulish emotions and bring the word of God as a candle in your spirit to your situation here. And use it just like Peter and say, well, you know, his mind was going one way and immediately he said, well, forget that. He is the master. At his word, I will believe. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Or you can do the same thing like Martha did and so forth. If her situation was even worse. In the case of Peter, it was just fish. But you can catch another fish some other day. If you don't catch today, you catch some other day. You know, but God is showing us that fish, death, life, it's all the same to the Lord. Amen. He can do the same miracles. Doesn't matter which sphere of life. If you want fish, he'll create some for you. Amen. Amen, folks. You know, how many of you know that Jesus actually spoke to those fish? Right? You know, all the creation, they hear his voice. And when he won, all he said was, look, they already heard his voice. And they, you know, they were coming. And all of them were swimming into that direction so that Peter could catch the fish. That's just the way it is. He can speak to a fish to bring a coin to Peter to pay the taxes. He can do any of these things. He is the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and he can speak to the dead. Lazarus, come forth. You know, and he'll come out of there, you know. And Jesus said himself, he said, the hour is coming and now is. Amen. That those that are in the graves, even those that are dead and so forth, you know, he broke that into two parts. The hour is coming, that those that are in the graves will hear the Son of Man. And as many as hear, you know, and so forth. But the hour is even now, that those that hear the voice of the Son of Man will live. If you hear his voice today, harden not your heart. Use that voice in the word of God. The voice of God is wrapped up in the word of God. You cannot separate his voice from his word. Praise ye the name of the Lord, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised that I shake not only heavens, but I will shake, you know, not only the earth, but also heavens and everything that's therein. So that only those things that cannot be shaken, can your faith be shaken? Will your faith be shaken? When you are in the midst of crisis like these situations that we've seen, will you still say, and even now, I know that Jesus has now arrived. Hallelujah. Perhaps you've been praying for something for so long. It may be a situation on your job. It may be a situation in the family. It may be something that you've been asking the Lord to do, or, you know, with children or whatever it is. And instead of it getting better, it actually getting worse. But will you believe that God is still able to change that story? How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
No matter how bad it has gotten, we can still believe and God can still do what he will do. All it takes is for you to separate between the soul and the spirit and immediately, you know, walk away from, you know, going that direction where the soul will be using emotions and feelings and so forth. And arrest that with the word of God and believe God. The Bible says that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 verse 89. His word is forever settled in heaven. Is it settled in your heart? Is it settled in your heart that God is able to do all these things? I've said it before and I will say it again in closing this morning. For you to believe that God is able to do what you are believing God for, that is non-negotiable. You must believe that. If you don't believe that, you haven't even begun on the step towards victory. The first step is our eyes are upon you. And no matter how big, no matter the number of enemies that overnumber us and so forth like that, we, you know, theirs is the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you can believe that and stand in the word of God, God will stand behind his word. Remember this verse in Psalm 103 and verse 20. It says that God, you know, reading between the lines, God has different categories of angels. So reading between the lines, we have some angels, some real powerful angels. You know, they have power. God has given it to them. They excel in strength, you know. And they hearken. They do his commandments. But they are also hearkening. That means they are waiting for the voice of his word. They won't do anything if they don't hear that word. And who's going to give that word? You. Repeating his word. Not your own word. You saying what God has already said, the angels will move into action on your behalf. Amen. When they hear the word of faith from your mouth, they will move into action because you are speaking what God already said. Praise the Lord. And God likes to do it this way. Who's going to go down there today to make sure that my son, Yato, is going to get everything that he is believing God for? Why? Because he just spoke my word. Hallelujah. And when you do that, the angels move into quick action. Now, but if you are not believing God and not using his word, then you can see those angels. They're sluggish. They're not doing anything. They're just there. They're bored. You know, you don't want them to be bored. Let them go into action. Who maketh his angels? Spirits. You know, and they go on behalf of those who are heirs of salvation to bring to pass whatever it is they are believing God for. And when they come back, they report to God, and God said, hey, what's happening? And they say, well, it is well with so and so. Amen. Amen, folks. It is well with this person. They put your name there if you are believing God. It is well. They bring a good report concerning you when you are believing and saying the word of God. And remember, God's word will never fail. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. If you believe that, you can give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Nevertheless, and even now, no matter what it is, the situation that we are facing, let us use the word of God to turn it around. No matter how bad it has gotten, no matter how it got there, maybe God didn't show up 2 days ago or 3 days ago or 4 days ago or last month or 2 months ago. It doesn't matter. He's here now. Amen. Hallelujah. What matters is he is here now. And when he is here now, he can change all of that. Praise you in the name of the Lord. You know, don't worry about, you know, that. You don't worry about that. He is here now. Because faith is now. Praise the Lord. Now. That's what the Bible says. Now, faith is the substance. So faith is now. Today is the day of salvation. We must use the word of God. Push back the emotions. Let the word of God divide between the spirit and the soul. Latch on to the word of God. And use what the word of God says about your situation and about yourself. Praise the Lord. It may not look like that, but use the word of God. Now! Are we the sons of God? Amen. Amen. That's what the Bible says. We may not yet appear, but we already are. Praise the Lord. And we are coming into maturity. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus has already healed us, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24. So even when you are sick, never mind what the soul and the body feel and so forth. Use the word of God to divide between that. Let the word of God come in there and say, by whose stripes I am already healed. Hallelujah. When you are facing difficulty and so forth, bring the word of God into that situation and say, thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. Amen. No matter what is happening, when your soul feels burdened and laden and you feel like, you know, distressed like David and so forth, lift up your head and say, God is my glory and the lifter up of my head. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, if you confess the word of God enough and you believe it, it will surely come to pass. Lift up your hands here this morning. Hallelujah. all over this place. If you understand the message of the word of the Lord this morning, how that we can use the word of God to divide between the soul and the spirit, and not follow what the soul would want, but use the word of God to be a light into our spirit and guide us into the will of God. If you understand that this morning, then begin to declare the word of God for yourself. Whatever you are believing God for, where you stand, I'm not going to call anybody to come out this morning. Where you are standing this morning, begin to declare. Open your mouth and declare the word of God. The angels are waiting, hearkening to the voice of his word. They are waiting to hear the word of God that you will declare. Not what you think, but what God has already said. What God has already pronounced. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. God has already said you overcome the world when you have faith. Use that faith in prayer. Declare the word of God. Declare his word upon your situation. The Bible says the entrance of his word brings light. You hear me say that every time I stand on this pulpit. Use that light to shine upon your ways in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. When you are confused about a situation, begin to declare the word of God that I will not walk in darkness. I will not be confused. I will have the light of life. My mind is clear. I have the mind of Christ, and I understand the things of God. You begin to declare, use the word of God positively to arrest your soul, push it down, and lift up the spirit in you. And believe the word of God. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, no matter what has happened, and even now, since the Lord has finally showed up on my steps, I know that he's changing my story. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in the word of God, in John 8 and 29, I am not alone. Hallelujah. For I know that my Father is always with me. Why? Because I do always those things which are pleasing in his sight. And he is always speaking the word of God. Now, if you do and use the word of God also, it will change your prayer. It will change your prayer life. I'm going to wait a minute or so and let you finish your declaration of faith. In another scripture, in Isaiah 50 and 7, I love this one. He says, I know that the Lord is with me, and I will not be afraid. I know that the Lord is going to help me, and I know I will not be confounded. Therefore, I have set my face as a flint, and I'm going to use the word of God in my situation. I will separate between, my emotions, and I will latch onto the word of God, and I know I will not be ashamed. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus here this morning. Come on, somebody. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah here this morning. Somebody shout hallelujah here this morning. Somebody shout hallelujah here this morning. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. Because the word of God will never fail. But what if some did not believe? What if some do not believe? Shall the word and the unbelief of some make the word of God of none effect? God forbid. Let God be true, and everything else and everybody else a liar. The word of God is true. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the word of God has brought us salvation and deliverance. If the Son therefore shall set you free, you are free indeed. And as many of you as have been set free by the Son, you are free indeed. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we declare your word this morning that we are more than conquerors. If somebody is more than conqueror here this morning, say it with me, I am more than a conqueror. That's right. Not just a conqueror. You are more than one. Hallelujah. Because God has said so. That's what he said. It's not because something I made up. It doesn't make me proud when I say what God says about me. Some people think it's pride when you say, no, say it the way God says about you. Praise the Lord. That's not pride. You're just saying, Jesus said it himself, I am from above, you are from beneath. Was he proud? No. He was saying it the way it is. And you are of your father, the devil, he told them. You know, was he proud? He was just saying it the way it is. You know, so when you declare the word of God, I am a son of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. You declare it the way it is. Are you proud? No. You're saying what God says. I am free. I am set free. Hallelujah. My head is lifted above my enemies. Hallelujah. The goodness of the Lord, the righteous, the Bible says in the tabernacle of the righteous, say, blessing of the Lord abides there. You declare these things for yourself. You say, look, I am blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I am so blessed that, you know, even blessing is oozing from me. Amen. I can't help it, folks, because that is what God says about me, that I am already blessed. He has blessed me with all spiritual blessings already. He has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And I declare the word of God exactly the way that God says it about me. And I give him all the praise and all the glory. Somebody give the Lord the praise again here this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.